Can't tell you what a struggle it is to get up and preach after anemic singing like that. Man. Bring you good news in the early service. Denise Finley came to place membership with our church family. Denise has been attending here for some time and is a very, very sweet Christian lady. I know that you want to take the opportunity to meet her and welcome her to our church family. If you have your Bibles, will you open them, please, to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. We're going to begin in the 139th Psalm this morning. We'll be looking at two or three other passages as well. You know, there are many different kinds of prayers. Mealtime prayers, most all of us are familiar with those. Bedtime prayers, and we're familiar with those. They're conversational prayers and crisis prayers when we find ourselves in the midst of trauma. They're chain prayers that some of us are familiar with when you get in a small group and one prays after another. And then there are risky prayers. You know, the theme of our service, not only today, but this entire month, is God is faithful. One of the ways that God demonstrates His faithfulness is in response to our prayers. You've heard it said, and probably have experienced it yourself, you want to be careful what you pray for, because God just might give it to you. This morning, I've come to challenge you to pray some risky prayers. Some of these prayers, if we come to the place in our faith and in our boldness and in our courage that we pray these prayers, it'll make an enormous difference in our lives and the life of this church. But I warn you ahead of time, the prayers are risky. I've taken four of the dozens of risky prayers that are recorded in the Bible. We could literally look at dozens of them. Because of time's sake, we're going to look at just four this morning, and we begin with the first of the risky prayers we'll consider this morning. I've assigned two words to each prayer so you can find it easy to grab hold of and understand and remember. The first risky prayer is this prayer. Search me. Search me. Oh God, take the brilliant light of your holiness and shine it into the deepest recesses of my spirit and my heart. And if there is anything amiss, bring it to light. Search me so that I may deal with it. The 139th Psalm is a prayer in and of itself. The entire Psalm is a prayer to God. David begins in his prayer by praising God for His incredible knowledge. Oh God, You know me, David says. You know everything about me. You know when I go out. You know when I lie down. You know the next word in my mouth even before I speak it. God, as I think about You, You're just wonderful. Where could I go to get away from Your knowledge? Why, if I were to go to the heavens, You're there. If I were to go to the depths, You're there. If I were to get up on the wings of the dawn and go, you'd be there. And even if I went to the far side of the sea, even there, You'd be there. And Your right hand would uphold me. Oh God, You are so wonderful. You know everything about me. You know, even You knitted me when I was in my mother's womb. You know everything about me. You even know every day that was a part of my life and wrote it in Your book before I ever was born. In verse 17, he says an incredible thing. The NIV translates it this way: how precious to me are Your thoughts. I want you to know that the best translation is, how precious concerning me are Your thoughts. David is saying, God, You've got me on Your mind. I don't understand why, but You're thinking about me. Your thoughts about me are so wonderful, it's beyond my understanding. You've got more thoughts about me than there is sand on the seashore. David is saying in verse 18, even when I go to sleep and I'm not conscious of you, you're still thinking about me, because when I awake, I'm still on your mind. Think about that a moment, folks. You're on the mind of God. He thinks about you all the time. You're never out of His mind. What a thought. As David contemplates that, he is so stirred in his self-righteous indignation about those who oppose God. He is so pro-God. As he thinks about this and prays this prayer to God, he thinks about those who stand in opposition to God. And he says, those who declare themselves to be your enemies are my enemies. And those who abhor you, I hate. And those that hate you, I hate. I find them to be my enemies because they're your enemies. And then, like a two before hitting between the eyes, it dawned on him. As I think about the enemies of God who in their open rebellion to you rise up and say things against you, oh God, could there be any fist shaking in my own life that is not as open and rebellious as maybe some others? Might there be some rebellion down inside me? Oh God, he prays in verse 23, search me. Take the brilliant light of your holiness and look into the recesses of my life and search me and bring it to light. The R-rated movies that they clean up and put on television, I happened to watch one of them the other night that was on television. Maybe you saw it. It was called Lethal Weapon. Boy, it was a stimulating movie. I'm sure glad I took the time to watch it. Mel Gibson plays the part of this rebellious cop that's crazy. And he has assigned a new partner, who is Danny Glover, who plays kind of the straight man. And he goes by the book and does things safe and in order. He's got a family and he cares about them. And he doesn't want to risk getting hurt because of them, etc. And here's Mel Gibson, crazy. Mel Gibson pulls this crazy stunt and he gets in the car with Glover, and Glover is bemoaning the fact he's assigned this new partner who's as crazy as he is. And he says, how in the world did I end up with you? He said, God hates me, that's why. And Mel Gibson turns to him and says, hate him back, it works for me. I want to tell you, as I listen to that in my living room, I mean, indignation went all through me that they'd have a line like that on national television. Hate God back, it works for me. I know that there are those who in their open rebellion stand up and defy God and mock God and scoff at God, but I want to tell you, it brings in my own life the risky prayer that I might begin to say to God, oh God, search me. Is there some subtle rebellion, some fist shaking going on in my life that I haven't dealt with? Search me. Are you bold enough and humble enough this morning to pray the prayer, search me? Are you willing for God to look in the deepest recesses of your heart and bring to light some things you need to deal with? Search me. The second risky prayer, I've put in the two words, break me. It seems a natural progression to go from search me to break me. That once God brings to light that which needs to be dealt with in my life, that which is amiss in me, then it seems that the natural progression from search me is to go to break me. God, break me in those areas and make me deal with them according to your love and your spirit. Again, from the pen of David in Psalm 51, he prays the break me prayer. The 51st Psalm is a psalm that was poured out by David following great sin in his life. Who among us hasn't been guilty of sin? You recall the story how David had taken Bathsheba, committed adultery with her, impregnated her, and then through a treacherous plot of his own, killed her husband Uriah, took her into his house as his own wife following a short period of mourning. And they had continued in that relationship for months until finally God sends the prophet Nathan to David to tell him a story. You remember the story. How Nathan comes to David and he says, David, I know this rich guy's got lots of flocks and lots of herds. He had a friend come and visit him. And there was this one poor guy that had one ewe lamb that ate from his hand, was like a member of his family. And the rich guy goes over to the poor man's house and takes the one ewe lamb that the poor man had and came back and slaughtered it and fed it to his visitor. And David is absolutely infuriated. Such a man ought to die, David says. And certainly he's going to restore fourfold what he took from that man. And all of a sudden the bony hand of the prophet Nathan is poking David in the chest saying, David, you're the man. You're the man. You did that very thing when you took Bathsheba to be your wife. And all of a sudden, months of guilt, months of having swept sin under the rug, comes flooding out of David in the 51st Psalm. David expresses the thoughts that maybe you feel this morning in your own life. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, cleanse me of my sin, for I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. God, I just can't get away from the sin in my life. As he draws near the conclusion of the psalm, David, knowing now what God has brought to light and he's got to deal with, David says in verse 16, you don't delight in sacrifice, or I'd bring it. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. The implication is, or I'd give it. God, it would be easy for me to just go down to the temple and just offer up some sacrifice and just offer up some burnt offering and kind of sweep this thing under the rug and just kind of go on with life. It'd be pretty easy to do that, God. But I know that wouldn't deal with it as far as you're concerned. In our language, it'd be pretty easy for us to say, okay, I'll go to church today and I'll put a little money in the plate when it comes by and I'll word a few prayers and I'll just kind of sweep this thing under the rug. And David says, listen, that doesn't cut it with God. He says in verse 17, the sacrifices which God appreciates are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, you won't despise. And David is praying, oh God, break me. Break me. I wonder this morning, is there some area of life where God needs to break you about? Is there something down deep in your heart that God has brought to light that you need to pray this morning? Break me. Some pattern of behavior that has come to light that you know isn't right as far as God is concerned. And you need to pray, break me this morning. Remember the story of Jesus with the woman caught in adultery in John 8? They literally dragged her right out of the hands and arms of her lover, dragged her through the streets of Jerusalem and threw her down at the feet of Jesus right in the temple courts themselves. They start shouting at Jesus, Law of Moses says we ought to stone such a woman. What do you say? Bible says he just bent down and started writing with his finger in the dirt. And the Bible says they just kept pressing for an answer. Finally he stood up and he said, okay, the one without sin among you, let him be the first to cast a stone at her. And he bent back down and started writing with his finger in the dirt. And the Bible says, beginning with the oldest, they all left one after another. Finally there was just Jesus and the woman. He said, woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. He said, I don't condemn you either. And in his parting words, his closing words were these, go and do not sin again. Break the pattern of sin in your life. Let this experience of mercy and grace that you've received here in my presence today be that which inspires you to break the pattern of sin in your life. What is it that God needs to break in you this morning? Fear, a lust, anger that hasn't been properly dealt with, the desire for power, greed, is it greed that drives your life now? What is it that God needs to deal with this morning and break in your life? Are you ready to pray the prayer of breaking? Do you have the courage and the faith to say, "Oh God, break me"? It's a risky prayer to pray, "God, search me." And it's a risky prayer to pray, "God, break me." The third risky prayer is, "God, stretch me. God, stretch me." This is a prayer that says, "God, I'm tired of just doing laps. I'm tired of doing just the same old religious thing in my life. I'm tired of the empty ritual. I'm tired of the rut and the comfortable status quo that has been a part of my religious life. And I come before you, O God, saying, stretch me. Stretch the limits of my love and my faith. Stretch the boundaries of my understanding of you. Stretch me." You find that prayer in Matthew 19. A rich young ruler came to Jesus. He'd been a good little Jewish boy all of his life, a commandment keeper, a rules keeper. He came to Jesus because he'd heard about this radical rabbi from Nazareth, a rabbi that came sweeping the nation of Israel with something he called new wine, because he kept saying new wine just won't fit in old wineskins. And there was something about the mannerisms and the charisma and the teaching and the power of this young rabbi that drew this rich young man to Jesus. And he comes to him and he says, "Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? Stretch me." Jesus says, "You know the commandments." He enumerates several of them for him. And the young man responds in verse 20, I've been a rules keeper all my life. I followed all these commandments, but there's still something missing in me. What do I lack? Jesus, stretch me." God is always faithful in the answering of prayer. And Jesus responds in essence by saying, "Okay, you want to be stretched? I'll stretch you. You go and sell out and then come and follow me." And the Bible says the young man went away sad because he had great possessions and that was too high a price for him to pay. Mark's account of this says that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Jesus wasn't playing games with him. He was trying to say to the young man, "You've come and asked me to stretch you. Let me show you how I'm going to stretch you. Go and sell out and follow me." And the young man just wouldn't be stretched that far. He went back into his routine, comfortable, rules-keeping life. And the indication from the Scripture is he missed the kingdom because he wouldn't be stretched. Church, many of us have grown up with a very narrow view of who God is and what God is about. Many of us have grown up with a very narrow perspective of what the kingdom is and what it's about. Many of us have grown up with a very narrow perspective of what worship is and what worship is about. And I'm afraid too many of us are trusting in what we know and what we do and what church we go to, rather than trusting in the one who came to save. And I wonder this morning if we might not have the courage and the faith to pray the prayer, "Oh God, stretch me. Take me out of this routine, this ritual that is empty in me, and take me to places of understanding and fellowship that I have never known in my life. Stretch me." You got the courage to pray the stretch me prayer? God will be faithful to answer it. Risky prayer. And the final prayer that's risky is, "Use me. Use me." Now, I know when you hear those words, you think, use me. Well, you hear these stories about the athletes that have been used by their team all these years, and when they get so old, they can no longer make a contribution, or they get injured, and they can no longer make a contribution to their team, and they show up for training camp, and they get cut, or they get put on waivers, and all of a sudden, all the whining comes out. They used me. All these years, they've used me, and now I want to give a contribution to this team, and all they want to do is throw me away like an old piece of garbage. Listen, there is a vast difference between use me and abuse me. This prayer is a prayer to say, oh God, use me. Link me up with you in partnership to make a difference, to save someone. Use me. You find that prayer in the first chapter of Luke's gospel. God had sent His angel to a teenage Jewess living in Nazareth, whose name was Mary. The angel came and said, I've got great news for you, Mary. Of all the women on the face of the planet, you've been chosen by God to give birth to His Son. It frightened Mary. I mean, it would frighten any of us. And she says, how can this be? I've never known a man. I've never had an intimate relationship with a man. How in the world can I be with the child of God in me? And he said, what's going to be conceived in you is going to be conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen to the use me prayer. It sounds like this. Verse 36 of Luke chapter 1. Verse 38, excuse me. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel left. You see, Mary understood the difference between abuse me and use me. And to Mary, there was nothing more exciting in all the world than linking up in partnership with God to do something to help save the world. And her response to that challenge was, oh God, use me. Use me. I wonder this morning, you have the faith and the courage to pray the prayer, use me? I want you to know He's faithful. And if you pray that prayer, He's going to take you off the bench and put you in the game. Years ago, I was going up to Kansas to preach in a gospel meeting. It's one of those deals where I said yes. And as the day approached, I dreaded it more than anything. I just didn't want to go. I got in my car on Saturday and I started my drive up to Kansas to this town to preach. And on the way up there, I started having a little talk with God. And I said, God, I know that my attitude isn't what it ought to be. I know it isn't. Forgive me for the attitude that I have. God, use me. If there's somebody here that you've sent me to minister, just use me. I preached Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, got back in my car and drove back to Oklahoma thinking the whole time, well, I don't know that any difference was made for anybody. Several months went by, and 10 years ago this month, I went to preach at the Tulsa Soul Winning Workshop. When I finished a session that I was doing at the workshop, I started out of the pavilion, and as I did, this young couple was waiting for me to talk to me. He said, Ronnie, you don't know us, but we're from such and such town in Kansas, from the congregation. And she named the congregation where I'd been. They both began to share with me. Said, you don't know us, and you don't know our story, but we thought it important to tell you. We had decided to divorce. We discussed it, in fact, the weekend that you came. A lot of people at church had been telling us we ought to come to church, and we ought to come and all that, and so we came. Some things that you said in your class that morning and then in the sermon really caused us to think. We went back home and we talked about them, and then we came back Sunday night. We came back Monday night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. He said, to make a long story short, we have committed ourselves again to each other. And several months have gone by and our marriage is stronger now than it's ever been. And we just want you to know we thank you. And I've seen that couple 4 or 5 times since then at various places. And every time I see them, they come and thank me. I want to tell you something. I didn't do anything, honestly. I mean, it wasn't me. It was him. It just so happened that there was a couple in Kansas that had a need in their life, and God is searching the planet, and He finds this clown that has a bad attitude but says, anyway, use me, and He sends me in there, and what I had to bring just happened to be the perfect match with the need they had in their life. God made the match. God made the difference. Are you tired of being on the sideline and cheering from the sideline? Don't you want to get into the arena and on the floor and in the game? Pray, use me. And I promise you, He'll be faithful to send you in. But I got to warn you ahead of time, it's a risky prayer. You're going to get your hands dirty. But there's somebody out there in your sphere of influence God has had an eye on, and they've got something you've got to offer them. There's somebody out there who needs a friend that you can give them. There's somebody out there who needs an instruction that you can share with them. There's somebody out there that you can give guidance to that are seeking guidance more than anything. There's somebody out there with a desire and a need for relationship that they can find in you. There's somebody out there who needs help and love. God's got you picked out. And you know what He's waiting for? For you to say, oh God, use me. I am available. Please, God, use me. Risky prayers. Search me. Break me. Stretch me. Use me. If you've got the courage and the faith to pray them, what a difference God can make in your life and in the lives of those you influence. Our first prayer ought to be, oh God, give us the courage and the faith to pray those prayers.
In just a minute, we're going to have a couple of brothers come up and lead us in those prayers that Ronnie shared with us this morning. But before we do, I'd like to sing a few songs with you to just to help take us closer to the presence of God this morning. Lord, we come before Thee now. At Thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit disdain. Shall we seek Thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek Thee, Lord, in vain? In Thine own appointed way, now we seek Thee, here we stay. Lord, we know not how to go till a blessing Thou bestow, till a blessing Thou bestow. 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer, when our hearts lowly bend, and we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. If we come to Him in faith, His protection to share, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed hour of prayer.
blessed hour of prayer. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. At the blessed hour of prayer, trusting Him we believe that the blessing we're needing we'll surely receive. In the fullness of His trust, we shall lose every care. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed hour of prayer. Blessed hour of prayer. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God.
Let's pray. Holy Father, as we come before You this morning, let us do so knowing how serious this prayer is. Help us to realize how dependent upon You we really are. And give us the courage to pray as we ought, an acknowledgement of Your love and Your power. Help it to be a deep prayer that reaches to the depths of our very being. You know us as we could never know ourselves, and we pray that You will search us and You will give us a vision of those things that are hidden in the dark recesses of our mind and hearts and beings. When we see those things, help us to be determined with Your help and because of Your grace and because of the Spirit You have put within us to put those things aside, and to fill ourselves with Your love and Your vision for us,
that we may be led in the way everlasting. Lord, occasionally we see the things that stay between you and us. For some of us, it's a big sin, such as David. For some of us, it's anger, it's lust, it's fear, it's greed. For some of us, Lord, it's bad habits that make us calloused and insensitive to your will for us. Sometimes, Lord, we look up at you and we're looking, it seems, through a glass ceiling. We know that we can be closer to you. We know that we can have a better relationship with you. But we just can't seem to break ourselves through, Lord. We're unwilling sometimes to break through, to give up the things, to step through, to step around those obstacles that keep us from you. Lord, we pray that you will break us. We pray that you will take our heart, Lord, and that you will melt it, that you will make it contrite, that you will help us, Lord, to pull through the obstacles that keep us from being close to you. Lord, we want to be next to you.
Open up the immense possibilities of our expanding faith in you. Help us to realize how many limitations we have put upon that faith and what it can do for us and the people around us. And never let us again be comfortable with less than we can be. Never let us substitute routine for faith and understanding without limits that we can reach in you. Please, God, help us to overcome the boundaries we have imposed upon ourselves and upon our faith and upon our trust in you to soar to heights that we could never imagine.
Lord, you don't need us. You don't need us to save souls. You don't need us to work at the food bank. You don't need us to do good to other people. You don't need us to be a friend to others. You don't need us to be good examples. You don't need us to give our money. But dear God, we need for you to use us. Use us, Lord, according to the way that you see best. We need you, Lord, to take us as you did Christ, to minister to other people. We're thankful, Lord, that you've made us a brother with Christ and that you will use us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in partnership with you. Let us, Lord, to be the hands of that partnership, to be your tools. Match us up, Lord, with the needs in this world. Lord, do with us as you want to do with us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit.